Buddy, we're back again for the second episode, our second official episode of 2021. Today we're going to be operating, it's going to be just me and D-Meddy right now. Tito's out here doing his thing, couldn't make it this week, I'm sure he'll be back next week. Today we want to touch, first off, D-Meddy, give him say what's up, other than the Yerp.
Hey, what's up world, what a wild, crazy 2021 has been, and I know it's coming up next week, Monday, but I definitely want to say a happy early first birthday to baby Carlin.
Hey, Carlin. Yes, Carlin is my grandniece. Yes, my grandniece. I have several of those. First off, let's go plug in our stuff here, you know. You know, this is the Whistle Nation podcast. We got some things going on. D-Meddy, why don't you tell us what you got going on for yourself right now?
Oh, well, I actually recently did a collaboration with a really talented artist who I've collaborated with before. His name is John D. Contradiction. He's a dope rapper. He actually has his own podcast too called Not Your Man's, and he has a platform on there with that. We recently did a song together called Words of Wisdom. And I actually spliced in, speaking of words of wisdom, some audio clips from your last episode in which you were commenting on the craziness that occurred, I believe, this past Wednesday when a whole bunch of Trump groupies tried to storm the Capitol building. So I took some audio clips of that. So Dwizzle Nation is also featured on his record as well.
That, by the way, the episode he's referring to is the bonus episode 1.5 that you heard last week out here. So go check that out once again. What was it? What's his name? John what?
John D. Contradiction.
John D. Contradiction. Go check him out. What's the name of his podcast?
Not Your Man's.
Not Your Man's. I'm going to go check out Not Your Man's. That's also on Apple Podcasts.
Also on Apple Podcasts.
No doubt. So I'm going to go check out Not Your Man on Apple Podcasts, and I'll also check it out on some of the other streaming platforms. Listen, let them know, man, that we support them. Let them check out our podcast if he's actually interested. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And the track that we worked on is coming out next week, Monday, so on Martin Luther King Day. It's called Words of Wisdom.
I heard it, man. It's fire, people. Y'all need to check it out. Once again, if you guys are fans of true hip-hop, go check that out. Coming out on MLK Day. Definitely check it out. Also, I noticed that the listeners can't actually see us, but why don't you tell people about that hat you're wearing?
Oh, so this hat, I'm rocking the Hush Plug hat that I actually got yesterday. I was really excited to receive it. Shout out to my cousin Pat Ferrari on this. It's a really nice design. I know y'all can't see it, but trust me, the hat is fire. Y'all going to need to hit up the Hush Plug website, cop yourself a hat. I'm waiting for them to restock up on the hoodies because I really want to cop a hoodie from them as well and feature it in a music video.
Hush Plug. Also, I want to give a big shout out to my niece, Dania Ferreras. Yo, listen, yes, man, she's doing wonderful tattoo work, man. Y'all need to go check her out.
Her tattoos are official.
Yo, what is her Instagram account? So we can send some people out there to go check her out, man. Tell her that we sent you. I don't know if that's going to get you a discount, but it'd be appreciated.
I believe DF Graphics. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe off the top of my head, it's DF Graphics.
That's her Instagram?
I believe so, yes.
Well, go check out DF Graphics. She's an excellent tattoo artist.
DF Graphics underscore, actually.
DF Graphics underscore. Go check her out. That's great. It's interesting because we're talking about these plugs, and I don't want to delay too much because we do want to stay within the time constraints that we wanted to do on the particular subject matter that we're going to get into shortly. But you've heard on some of my previous podcasts that we need to start paying attention to how these young cats are moving these days.
Yes.
How they're moving and they're making money. These guys, it's incredible the tools that they use in order to you know, just flip money to where they are. Okay,
absolutely, absolutely. Social media is a really, really big push for that. Through Instagram, through even YouTube, through all of the promotion through Facebook. Also, setting up their own websites like Hush Plug did as well. So there's definitely a lot of avenues for these young cats to make bread.
Definitely, which also it segues into something that I'm very proud of, although the details have not been completely worked out. We're going to be having our first guest host, so to speak.
Nice.
Yes, you know you are familiar with Process the Mel Daniel.
Yes. Yes, I am. He has a really dope podcast as well.
Yes, this cat does YouTube videos. He's got his podcast. This is a young brother that definitely has his act together. Now,
Absolutely, definitely in
sports parlance, you know, there are certain athletes that would do well in any generation. Now, even though you've heard me critique some of the young generation, how they do shit, like, you know, how they wear their pants and all this other shit, although this man wears his pants normally, without a doubt. Process the Mel, I'm going to call him Melvin. I won't go into his full government name. This is a guy who would do well in any generation. The first time I met this dude, he's just someone that you know he's got you get that feeling from him within the first 30 seconds that you meet him. And we didn't pre-discuss this, so I didn't work this out with you, Daniel, like to say that I was going to say any of that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, do you remember the first time you met Melvin?
First time I met him was actually in Las Vegas.
Same place I did.
Yep, back in 2009, I believe. Yeah, definitely really good dude. He showed love off the bat. Very good person. Definitely very good person. And I agree with everything he said 100%.
Yeah, I remember he got a room upgraded just because on the strength that this man showed up to check into his room in a suit. And he had an issue with the room, but he showed up in a suit and they just upgraded him to the next higher room for free. Okay, that's how this cat moves. So we haven't worked out the details, but Melvin's definitely going to be part of the show. I'm very proud that I've been able to secure him in it. He is an actual listener of the show. Big up to Process to Mel. Go check him out on Instagram. Go check him out on YouTube.
Definitely.
We'll specify some of the details. When I post it on Instagram, when I also post it on Facebook, post this episode, so you could go check that guy out, man. This is definitely somebody that you guys need to actually listen to. So having said all that, giving our big shout-outs, giving our plugs, Daniel, why don't you get into what is the subject matter that we're getting into today?
I actually want to talk about something that's actually pretty relevant, especially with what's going on. I feel like hip hop has definitely been a very, very, very big in allowing people to express themselves and in order to shed light on a lot of atrocities, a lot of injustices that do go on in our society. So I kind of wanted to talk about signature hip hop moments or hip hop songs and hip hop artists that have kind of touched on either major movements, have spoken on injustice, on racism, on classism. So that's definitely what I want to get into. So throughout the whole entire history of hip hop, the earliest song that I guess got a lot of mainstream attention was The Message, I believe.
Yes.
So even all the way from there in 1982, where he was talking about what was going on with broken glass everywhere and don't push us because
we're close to the edge, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely close to the edge on that one, man. Now, how old were you when you actually first heard The Message?
I honestly heard the remake with Puffy and Mace before I actually heard the original version. Puffy and Mace remade it, I think, in 1997. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really touch too much on the social messages from the original track from Grandmaster Flash. So I was, I gotta say, 13, 14 when I heard the actual original version. And I saw a video of it and I was like, this is better than the remake. Like, and that beat's definitely iconic too. I know Ice Cube did something over that beat as well. Which is actually a dope record too, but is nothing like the original Grandmaster Flash version.
Okay. So what did you feel when you first heard that?
I don't have too much memories of the 80s since I was born in 1986. So
the time that you actually heard the track, when you actually heard the original.
When I heard the original and I saw what was going on, I was like, damn, not really much has changed from then till now in terms of a lot of the issues kind of going on in low income neighborhoods and with racism and with the police. Not really much changed from, I guess, 1982 to about 1999, 2000, you know?
Now, I'm going to interject a little something here. Like when when D. Meddy was younger, man, one of his, he didn't necessarily know what he was doing, but he always just sang Fight the Power by Public Enemy. So he'd be out there pumping his fist, Fight the Power! Fight the Power! My boys thought that it was hilarious that I somehow put them up to it, but that was also a very iconic song, as if you know, as we would call into a protest rap, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And you definitely put me onto that, and you put me onto rap in general. So I gotta once again thank you for that. But I actually want to ask you about that, because there was a big movement of that, I guess, in the early 90s of protest rap, and then it just seemed to go away. Now, in your opinion, what do you think made that pushed back and out of the forefront?
Well, we're going to get into the tinfoil hat territory here, okay?
Okay.
But I believe this one is a little bit more plausible than some of the other conspiracies that are actually being pushed out there, so to speak. You have these people were talking real stuff out here, like the Public Enemies, and it was, you know, we weren't wearing gold, we were wearing black medallions, and then somehow along the line that shit turned into like a fad. It wasn't supposed to be a fad, but it turned into a fad.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So simultaneously about that time, and this is not me critiquing NWA, okay? Because I think NWA is very similar to Public Enemy, but they're the opposite side of the coin. It's the same coin, but the opposite side. So you had Public Enemy saying fight the power, whereas you had NWA saying fuck the police. It's a very similar message. But now, you know, understand something, that the record companies play a huge role in the type of music that is put out there. Okay. And once again, without delving too much in the weeds, is like there's a lot of rappers that have issues because they're like, well, if I want to rap what I want to rap about, they won't put my record out. So they want me talking about drugs, jewelry, and killing people. Okay, we've heard this narrative before. Yeah. I believe that's what happened during that time, where all of a sudden, once NWA came on the scene, you hardly heard anything from Public Enemy. And I'm not blaming NWA. I'm just saying, is that
where the money and where the attention went to?
Exactly. Whether it was people complaining about what NWA was saying, the name of the group or whatever, but that focus was strictly on them. And it was taken away from groups like Public Enemy. You had the Poor Righteous Teachers, you know, you had the Brand New, you had all these groups, you know, and then it was like a transition going away from them.
And get KRS-One too, and I guess we could touch on another conscious song. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the peace. So, I mean, he was somebody who was at the forefront as well, and then he all of a sudden, for whatever reason, kind of got pushed into the underground, just in terms of what attention was being put on him. Now I know he was still putting out albums, still touring, still making a very successful living off of his music, but it just wasn't in the mainstream media.
Well, here's the thing about KRS-One, okay, and I'm a huge KRS fan, so please don't nobody take this the wrong way. You have to understand that KRS-One was never really more than a local phenomenon. Forgive me. Okay. Yeah. But like people from other parts of the country, and I've had the benefit of meeting people from other parts of the country in my, you know, as I've grown through my years, and they really wasn't fucking with KRS like that. Okay. So, like, and I do believe that, like, there's a certain narrative that the record companies push, but people weren't really messing with KRS like that. You know what I mean? Like KRS was a New York tri-state area phenomenon, but they wasn't messing with him in Florida or California or anything like that. You know?
I got you. Now, when you were out in Florida, who was the artist that was getting the most love? Like what was the type of music that was getting the most love during that
booty
time?
Shaking music. That's what was getting the love out there. It was strictly booty shaking music. And generally speaking, like when I would try to play KRS-One or whatever, and they'd be like, "Yo, how can you play that? It has no bass." So they didn't really care about the lyrical content of the music. They were just like, "Yo, there's no bass to this music. How could you listen to this?"
So
not everybody, but just one particular demographic.
Got you. So it basically more about the energy and less about, I guess, the message being put into the music.
I would say so. Not everybody. I'm just that was the general vibe that I got.
Now I kind of wanted to circle back on the Public Enemy thing too, because I guess you could say mainstream media in general is definitely plays a big role into what gets promoted, what's kind of in front of our faces all of the time. And I remember a movie, actually one of my favorite movies, which was a parody movie from the Wayans family, called "Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood."
Yeah, I never saw that one, unfortunately.
You never saw that movie?
No, I never saw that one.
Wow. Okay, well I'll just keep it really short. They had a character on there. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they kind of had a character where he was supposed to be like the conscious guy, and he would always speak like, "My brother, we need to come together as a community," and like it was basically a parody of that character, and they kind of showed that he was, I guess, a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the whole like punchline with him, and that I'm not too sure, because I was what, like 7-8 years old when that movie came out, but I wonder if that was like the general sentiment of like those like woke conscious people back in the early 90s.
Well, I don't necessarily think I get that vibe. Like, I've never heard any scandals concerning these, but like the worst thing that happened with Public Enemy is that the whole issue with Professor Griff that came out, and he eventually was suspended, as if you could actually be suspended from a rap group. but that was that controversy with Public Enemy. But I don't believe that was the reason that they stopped being in the foreground. Like I know you're not necessarily a fan of Chuck D's rap style.
Yeah,
me, that man's voice is powerful. Is powerful. It's something that type of style is actually needed, or was needed at the time, at least. And I think they broadcast an excellent message. But you know, just like all things, you move on. I mean, you know, and I moved on from Public Enemy. I mean, like I still hold their albums as classics, but yeah. I went and I moved on, you know?
And it definitely talking about issues going on. So we kind of spoke about Public Enemy. We talk about KRS-One just in terms of like the protest rap, and then moving on to, I guess, the late 90s, early 2000s. I kind of want to bring up Lauryn Hill, and I mentioned this 2 episodes ago on the season premiere of season 2, talking about The Mystery of Iniquity.
Yes.
On her Unplugged album, and that's a song just attacking the justice system. Just attacking the hypocrisy of it, attacking just how basically it only serves those that have money. Mm-hmm. And everybody there that's involved with the system, I guess, besides the defendant, isn't really there seeking justice. They're just kind of just seeking to continue their own status. And I think it's a very, very good song, very, very powerful song.
Hold on a second, D. Matey, you coming? I'm sensing some feedback on you, like a distant feedback. Okay. Did you do something?
My bad. Nah, it could be these headphones, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe it could be like the microphone brushing against my beard.
Okay.
My bad.
But now, was that the Mystery of Iniquity? Was that the one that she did on MTV Unplugged?
Yes.
And then shortly after that, that's when the whole thing about her stuff just started happening. Like, like the car caught on fire and her kids were in it, and you know, she started going crazy, which I'm not saying that she didn't, but that's what was put out there, that she was going crazy. And you know,
that was a narrative with her, and I also wonder if that was either if that was intentional to try to either minimize her message, or if that was legitimate, you know. So that's, you know, something like anytime you have an artist really touching upon important things going on, or wanting to, I guess, shed light on certain things, something weird usually happens, I would say.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was ultimately the case with her.
Once again, we're hitting the tinfoil. This is tinfoil territory. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think some of these conspiracies that we're talking about carry a lot more weight than the ones that we've actually been hearing lately.
Absolutely.
Now, going on, that I believe that during the mid-90s and late 90s, I believe that there was a dearth of conscious rappers. Like, you did have your Commons, but Common hadn't blown. He used to go by Common Sense, but I don't think he had blown up at the time.
He had his movement. He had his notoriety. Going up against the West Side Connection.
Yeah, and that was the era of, you know, Biggie and Bad Boy and the Shiny Suit era and Papa Champagne and all this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain time that you mentioned earlier, now you mentioned Lauryn Hill, who there's hardly anyone that I don't know doesn't want to at least see Lauryn Hill come back and do some type of album.
Yeah, definitely.
But you've mentioned Jadakiss, Kendrick Lamar, T.I., Lupe Fiasco. You got some J. Cole in here. So why don't we start transitioning into some of these rappers now that are actually becoming more conscious in their lyrical content to the matters that are actually going on today?
Absolutely. Lupe Fiasco, he's been very consistent in terms of shedding light on things that have gone on. So I had mentioned American Terrorist before. He has a dearth of songs kind of shedding light on things. Talking about contract situations on a song, I believe, called Dots and Lines. He's talking about how record labels trap artists and these very unfair deals. He actually had some controversy because he spoke against actually Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Touch
on that. Let's not just put that out. What exactly was it that he say about Obama that was controversial?
Well, just mentioning the fact that Obama. He called Obama a terrorist, actually, and he caught a lot of flack for that. And his reason for that was, you know, the drone strikes that Obama was calling when he was president in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I believe, was, I don't know if Bush too called drone strikes, but I think Obama
took it to the next
called
level.
More drone strikes, yeah, than any president in history.
Mm-hmm.
And with Obama, I think he was a good president. I definitely think he did the best that he could, just in terms of what was going around him at the time. But Lupe Fiasco definitely caught a lot of flack for that. But Lupe wasn't wrong in that particular critique of Obama. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes nuance is something that people and that media in general is lost on as well. We tend to look at things in a very black and white manner, and I think you can talk about a good person and see that there are particular flaws in something that they've done, and it's important to shed light on those flaws because it's a teaching moment for the next person that could potentially hold that position, you know.
Y'all heard that? Y'all heard that here, okay? So just listen to the words that were just spoken on that, man, because it's very, very deep. OK,
absolutely.
We don't want. So. All right, then.
Jadakiss, too. My bad. Just
I was going to touch on Jada.
I wanted to kind of, I guess, track to 2004 when he had his big record, Why.
Why? And that's exactly. Yep. Exactly. That's what I was going to touch on, man.
Yep. And he had some controversy with that, too, from the Fox News people. Just and because he was critical of George Bush, too, on that.
Hmm. Wow. I'm pretty sure there's people right now that wish they could go back to George W. Bush. But I also that song, Why, is that the one where he mentioned why did it take Denzel Washington to play a crooked cop before he actually won the Academy Award?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And the very controversial lyric, why did Bush knock down them towers, which a lot of people still believe to this day that George Bush was responsible for 9/11.
Well, that gets us to Immortal Technique, who is another you could call a protest rapper. And he yes. goes, you know, he definitely gets into that. He touched on that with the towers. And okay, before some of y'all get mad, I mean, I'm not an expert. I'm just saying what Immortal Technique said. Techniques also gets into you know, how America gets into like the economies of other people, and they actually go in there and disrupt these other economies. And this is why some of these governments fail. But that's something y'all need to read on your own on that one. But Immortal Technique also falls into that perspective, you know. But yeah, that was a good pickup on that. Now I want you to tell me, you got T.I. listed here.
Yes. T.I. especially lately, he's been very vocal. He's been very outspoken just on issues of racism, on police brutality. He's been very outspoken on that. And back in 2016, he actually has an album called Us, or hold on 1 second. I believe it is called Us or Else. Mm-hmm. He actually has a song called Us or Else, a Letter to the System, which is actually a really powerful song. But he actually trying to find the name of that album that he dropped back in 2016, which I consider one of his best albums. It is actually called Us or Else. So he released it as an EP initially, mm-hmm. then he added to it, and it became a full blown LP. So it's Us or Else. Letter to the System.
Wow, the resident hip hop scholar here. You dropping knowledge, man.
Absolutely, and it's definitely worth checking out. He speaks on a lot of issues on there. He speaks on what it's like being black in America. He speaks on the issues of police brutality, on issues like the murders of unarmed black people by law enforcement in this country. So he also talks about one of the issues facing poor neighborhoods as well. Hmm. So I think that's definitely important. So it's to me, even though it may not be T.I.'s most well-known album, I think when it's all said and done, when we look back decades from now, I think it's going to be something that becomes a lot more important to his legacy.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
So T.I., Us or Else,
and
definitely worth checking out.
And the last one that you actually posted up on, and listen, there's hundreds out there, so we won't be necessarily be able to get out to everyone out there. But you got Kendrick Lamar here.
Yes, to Pimp a Butterfly, which in my opinion is one of the greatest hip hop albums ever made. Beginning to end, it also touches on a lot of the similar issues that Kendrick touches on as well. His is a little more nuanced, where he kind of goes into satire, and he doesn't just touch on the surface issues of inequality, on racism. He also kind of goes into the mental health aspect of it as well. Hmm. So he comes from the perspective of kind of the mindset and also in his position with dealing with temptation on like selling out versus staying true to your art form and to your craft. And it's actually the whole album. He kind of has a poem that's kind of extended and extended as it goes. And ultimately you find out, spoiler alert, I guess, you find out that he's reading the poem to Tupac. Hmm. And it's actually like this cool back and forth that they were kind of able to edit. And, There's actually a really good song on there called "How Much a Dollar Costs," where he kind of talking about, like helping the poor, but from his perspective, he was just seeing somebody that was just begging him for money, and ultimately it wound up being a test by God for like for his character on giving back to the community and doing the right thing in general. So I thought that was a really powerful song on there. We Gonna Be All Right, which wound up being the theme for the initial Black Lives Matter movement in 2015, which is actually a Pharrell produced track. We Gonna Be All Right. So I think that's definitely a really important song as well, and one of his most well-known tracks.
So let me ask you, what do you think is the responsibility of all rappers, or just rappers in general, not necessarily all of them, but what responsibility do you think they have as far as trying to be, if not social, at least maybe socially aware, so that we can, just so that we can incorporate all perspectives in this? What do you think the responsibility of today's rappers is in that regard?
I think that is a very, very good question. And my answer, I guess, is going to be, I guess, not really a complete answer to that question, because there are a lot of rappers, just like there are people in general, that are, I guess, ignorant and don't really know or fully understand what's going on. So I would say if you are a person in general that is aware of what's going on, with that knowledge does come the responsibility. And with the knowledge and the platform combined, you do have a responsibility to shed light on issues and to be a positive influence on the listener and the next set of rappers that are to come out. So I think if you do have that knowledge, you do have that responsibility. There are a lot of rappers out there that don't. So it's kind of hard to condemn them. It'd be like condemning a person, just let's say you just have a normal person kind of going through their 9 to 5, and they're, worried about making ends meet, worried about paying their bills, just providing for their family, their children, stuff like that. That don't really have a lot of time and energy to kind of pay attention into what's going on. It's kind of hard to condemn a person that may in that position that may not necessarily have the opportunity to actually know of what's going on. And I kind of feel that way about a lot of rappers too. There's some rappers, they're out there doing it to try to make a living for themselves, to try to provide for themselves and for their family, and they may not necessarily be aware of exactly what's going on.
I got you.
And
Or they may not be able to, they may not be able to articulate it in an artful way.
exactly.
Okay. I got you on that one. So listen, man, let's put a bow on this one because we don't want to go over. We want to stay within the time constraints that we set for ourselves. Out of curiosity, is there anything else? Is there a subject matter you want to touch on for a potential next episode?
I definitely want to do that producer episode. I think
We're still
that one's going
working
to be a
on that.
fun
We
one.
we're definitely still working on that, man. We'll definitely get into that, man. We got to start doing our homework and our research to get through on that,
Yes,
But
definitely. And that words of wisdom track. Well, once that's out, that definitely play it on the podcast too. We could definitely talk about that too. Think that's a really important song for what's going on currently.
Y'all heard that here first, people. We're gonna listen to we're gonna do that. We're gonna check that out. I'm gonna go relax with my missus. We're
Yes.
gonna watch some Bridgerton right now, because
Shut
that's you want you
shout, shout out to Thea, by the way.
oh yo
Thea
my
Anna.
oh by the way she can't hear you because I got my headphones on, but he says Daniel says hi, Thea. She says hi. She's trying not to be intrusive here, but she's very good at letting me do my thing here. But anyway, people, that's it, man. We wrapping it up. No rant today. We just strictly talking, keeping it nice and easy, keeping it mellow, keeping it on hip hop, trying to keep it non-controversial. who knows, I may have another freak out where I do my thing. But that's it, fellas. We out. Peace. Daniel and I are gonna like parlay a little bit afterwards, after the show. Yes. And we'll see you next week.
Take care and stay safe out there, y'all.